It's us.
Hi.
We're the podcasters.
It's us. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sam.
We're the Sibs. And you're listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs.
That's right. This is the podcast where a brother and a sister discuss two of their favorite things, Taylor Swift and cocktails.
Every episode, we will choose a song from Taylor Swift's 200-plus song catalog. We'll each pair a cocktail with that song, and then we will break down our favorite musical mixology moments. Hey, Sam, are we ready for it?
I think we are.
Hello, Swiggies, and welcome to another very exciting episode of Swift and Swigs with Sibs. I am Rachel. You are listening to episode 70 of our podcast. Sam, we've hit 70. Wow. Our podcast is almost as old as our parents. This is exciting.
Oh, wow. Way to really age them there.
Hi, Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad. What kills me, Sam, is that while our Swiggies are listening to this, they have already received, they are already in a Torture Poets Department era, and we are not. And I'm jealous of our current listeners, which is a weird place to be.
Yes. So let's not confuse people too much, but basically, everybody, what you need to know is we're doing a little podcast magic right now. We're recording this episode before Tortured Poets has come out, which I know might be confusing because last week's episode was a Tortured Poets song, but that's just the magic of behind the scenes sometimes. So
just deal with it.
Deal with it. It needs to be said because obviously Rachel and I will not be talking about anything Tortured Poets related or if anything has happened in recent weeks. The exciting thing to say, though, is that we are recording this during the release week of Tortured Poets, and that's a very exciting time for a Swiftie. Every time it's release week, we get new surprises, not to mention, I mean, just the anticipation of the album coming out. Still no single. We still don't know the sound of it. We don't know anything.
Nothing.
And it's just a very exciting week for us, Rachel. And another reason why it's exciting right now is that you just had a birthday. Happy birthday.
I did. Thank you.
How did you celebrate it? What'd you do?
So leading up to my birthday, because, you know, it's like a multi-day event, I was at a writing conference. Taylor Swift didn't make an appearance. That's a bummer.
Sorry.
And actually, my only big complaint about this conference is there was not enough talk about songs and songwriting. There was one talk who brought in a Brandi Carlile song. Of course, it made me burst into tears. That was really cool. But for the most part, I'm craving some good songwriting. Just like analysis, like discussion, you and I do. Yeah. So I don't know where that conference is.
Yeah.
Or maybe I just need to be that writer. Maybe I just need to write that so that I can go to conferences and talk to people about songwriting and its influence. So,
yeah.
But
and they should really consider extending the invite to Miss Taylor Allison Swift.
I mean, yeah, or us. It's like one or the other, right? Like whoever's like calendar is free. So.
Right. And we are definitely on the same plane as
definitely.
Taylor. So if she can't make it, we're definitely the next best thing. So hopefully next year.
Yeah, hopefully.
We'll see.
Yeah, so that was my birthday. Fun. I celebrated. I got home and it was 77 degrees in Chicago. And Sam, you know what happens when it's 77 degrees in Chicago.
Oh, it is a vibe. Yeah, I see you wearing like t-shirt and Elliot had shorts on. It looked quite warm.
Yeah.
And I'm jealous of that.
It was a gorgeous day. Yeah. We went to we joined the masses and went to Lincoln Park and dipped our toes into the icy cold Lake Michigan. And it was really fun.
I love that.
Yeah.
I miss those days of Chicago. I've had lovely weather up here as well until today. It's back to winter again.
Yeah. But, I'm sorry. It's not so gorgeous.
It's not so gorgeous, is it, here in the mountains of Colorado? But
you know what is gorgeous, Sam? that we are 3 days away. 3 days and like 3 hours away from Torture Poets Department. Yes.
No, you're so right. You're so right.
Like, Christmas is almost here.
I love being west in a time zone west of the East Coast, so I can get it at 10 p.m. and I don't have to, you know, like when Midnights came out, oh my gosh, that was so, I was on the East Coast and that was so hard to stay awake for it.
Oh, that's right.
And I ended up just drinking like an entire bottle of wine before it even came out because I didn't know what else to do with my time.
I mean, that feels so really, now that we've listened to Midnights, like I feel like drunk listening actually might be a good vibe.
Totally. Totally. It just, it was, yeah, not the best for comprehension of those lyrics. So this release, I plan on being stone cold sober.
Totally
sober. Maybe I'll pour a glass as it happens. But, but yeah, definitely not going into it. So yeah, that is a gorgeous thing, Rachel. And, you know, obviously in episodes to come after this, we will know Tortured Poets. But until then, we're still fathoming, and that's okay. That is okay. Rachel, I don't know. Do you have any Taylor T that you want to get off your desk before we carry on?
No. My only Taylor T is that I feel like I did before the Eras Tour, before like the Eras Tour show, and like how long we counted down for that. I'm just so giddy. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm super giddy as well. Yes, it is like a similar feeling, isn't it? And who knows? Who knows what will happen? If we're trying to kill time, which I don't know if that is what we're trying to do, I've got this Taylor Swift book that a friend recently gave me.
Yeah.
It's called 96 Facts About Taylor Swift. Do you fancy a read from this?
Give me a few. Yeah.
I mean, it just could be fun. This could be not fun. Yeah, it's 96 facts about Taylor Swift.
Uh-huh.
Quizzes, quotes, questions, and more.
Okay.
Love it. So, I don't know.
Okay.
Here's a couple quiz questions for you, Rachel.
Bring it.
When Taylor performed at the Bluebird Cafe that fateful night in 2005, which musical instrument did she play? A, the guitar. B, the tuba. C, the xylophone. Or D, the cowbell.
I mean, the guitar, right?
I mean, I don't even think I have to look up the answer for that one. It's the guitar.
Okay.
Can you imagine her playing the tuba, though?
That would be so great.
Hang on. Let me just make sure. Yes, it is the guitar. Ooh, this is an interesting one. How long did it take Taylor Swift and Liz Rose to write the hit song Tim McGraw? A, 2 hours. B, 6 hours. C, 3 hours. Or D, 15 minutes. So, 2, 6, 3, 2, or 15
minutes. My answer is 2.
It's 3 hours.
3.
I would have guessed 15 minutes.
2 or 3. Those are too close together. Those are too similar.
Yeah. See if you know this one, Rachel.
Okay.
This is the try to refresh your debut / self-titled memory here.
I'm doing it.
The song Stay Beautiful from Taylor's debut album is about a girl who has a crush on a boy who moves away before she can tell him how she feels about him. What is that boy's name? Let me just give you the multiple choice because you're going to laugh. Raphael, Leonardo, Michelangelo, or Corey?
Definitely Donatello.
Donatello is a write-in option.
Okay. It must be Corey?
It's definitely Corey. Okay, you'll probably know this one. What was the original title for Mary's song?
Oh, my, my,
was
my.
Was it A, Last Friday Night, B, Oh, My, 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 C, Firework, or T, Teenage Dream?
That was an option? Oh, My, My, My?
They're all Katy Perry songs except for Oh, My, My, My.
Oh, okay.
Firework, Teenage Dream, Last Friday Night. Okay, these are obviously very easy. Okay. The last question is, what are Taylor Swift fans called? I mean, come on.
Swiggies. No, just kidding.
Okay, well, that maybe was fun. More on that to come in future episodes.
Maybe that was fun.
When we just are having a quiet moment in the Taylor world. This might make an appearance again. So,
Sam, why don't you tell our Swiggies where they can find us before we dive into this episode?
All right. Well, Swiggies, first of all, thank you guys so much for listening every single week. We love having your input, your feedback, and we would love for you to help us grow this podcast by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And you can write a little comment in the review section as well. You can also give us 5 stars on Spotify, and be sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Swift and Swigs Podcast. You can send us an email to swiftandswigspodcast@gmail.com. You can follow along our show. How do I say that? You can follow our show notes. You can follow along in the show notes. Episode 70,
check
people.
Check out our episode show notes.
Okay. What I'm trying to say is our show notes can be found at swiftandswigspod.substack.com. And I don't know
that's
what else
place.
There is.
That sounds good.
We don't have a YouTube. We don't have a Facebook. We're not doing any live shows that you can buy tickets to. Not yet. But
oh my gosh. Can you imagine? That'd be so fun.
That'd be so fun. But stay tuned. Maybe stay exciting things will come to works. Maybe we'll get merch. Rachel, should we get merch?
We should get
Swiggy merch. I'm thinking a
we
card again.
We gotta figure out like what our like frequently used catchphrases are, like chicky nuggies. a little chicky nuggy.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure it out. If there's things that we say that are specific to Rachel and I, maybe we don't even know what those things are.
Yeah.
Like for chats and reacts, it would be like fathoming and deeply concerning and
deeply
illegal. And, you know, superior. Yeah. But if Rachel and I have like catchphrases that we're not even aware of, let us know. So those are the places you can follow along to us on. And I still don't know how to say prepositions, but that's what I've got to plug.
That's
for this
what
episode.
We've got. I think that's it's time we transitioned into some new shit. What do you say, Sam?
I'm doing good. I'm on some new shit. I say yes. Rachel, are you doing good and on some new shit?
I certainly am. I'm on to the next pop girly album of the spring that I have been anticipating.
Okay.
I'm bringing in some Maggie Rogers.
Shut up. Me too, Rachel.
Yay! That's okay. It's okay.
I didn't think you would choose this. We've never talked about Maggie Rogers.
Oh, Sam. I know. I can't believe we haven't. And honestly,
I
kind of fell off of forgot about Maggie Rogers for a little bit, but I was solidly obsessed with Alaska since its debut with Pharrell Williams.
I know that viral video from like 2015 or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an incredible song.
It still makes me cry every time I watch that video. I'll just like dive into it. I love the song. Anyway, so.
Yes, agreed.
Maggie Rogers has had that album was like definitely like folk meets kind of electronic sounds. That was her debut. Then she had another album that was, I think, a little bit more like electronic pop more than the other one. Now she's kind of shifted with this most recent album, which is called Don't Forget Me. This most recent album that just came out is definitely bringing her back to her folk roots. She's talked about her folk roots. And I feel like, honestly, what got me excited about listening to this album is, you know, I asked Taylor to write me a Stevie Nicks album for the Torture Poets Department. Swiggies know if I got my wishes. But you know what? It doesn't matter if I did or didn't get my wishes because I feel like Maggie Rogers delivered.
It sounds like Stevie Nicks.
I feel like it's giving Stevie Nicks. In fact, So the song that I'm picking that I love a whole lot is called So Sick of Dreaming. Okay, the thing I loved about the chorus is it sounds so much like the Fleetwood Mac song Everywhere. And it like I wouldn't be surprised if it's, you know, interpolated or whatever from it. But there was just a lot of really great Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks, just like witchy woman vibes that I'm really digging on this album.
What I like about that song and a lot of the other tracks on this album is there's this sound that feels like momentum. There's like a constant groove in a beat, yeah. And it's not like heavy pop production sounds. It's just kind of simple strumming and drums, but it just feels really groovy. And I guess that's kind of the 70s rock, yeah, Stevie Nicks kind of thing that you were talking about.
That's interesting because I was listening to it while I was running, and I don't always listen to like folksy, and usually need like big pop music, but it was actually really great, like a nice, good Monday morning jogging album.
Yeah, that's great that we chose the same album to talk about this week. I also loved the song So Sick of Dreaming, but I also really like the title track very much. It's actually the closing track of the album, Don't Forget Me. I think it was released as a single as well. It just has a beautiful quality to it, both lyrically and sonically. Oh, but promise me that when it's time to leave, don't forget me. Don't forget me. And I can see myself listening to this album over and over again. It's quite short. It's only 35 minutes long. And so it's really easy to digest in that sense. But yeah, go Maggie. Keep it up, lady. And yeah, okay. All right, cool. All right.
All right, cool.
I am in a goofy mood today, Rachel. I am sleep deprived. I am without a cell phone. It's lost somewhere on a ski slope.
Is that where it is? Okay.
Yeah, shoot. Somewhere. I've been up for many hours trying to get a new phone and running errands, and it's just been a little bit of a chaotic day. So I'm all slap happy, and I haven't even started sipping on a cocktail yet. So
this feels like a good song to be a little slap happy with which to be slap happy, says
our mom, probably our mom. I know, I'm really glad we're not doing a you know, like You're Losing Me this week, or Dear Reader was kind of difficult to process, but yeah,
you need to pick me up. So why don't we just like tell the listeners what song we are doing this week, Sam?
Right,
you picked the song, so you get to tell us.
So I wanted to choose a song that maybe takes us away from a sadness that we might be getting with Tortured Poets and kind of thinking about the happiness of a relationship, even if that relationship didn't work out. But happiness isn't really the word to use. The song itself is very fun, very poppy, very fun to listen to, and very bouncy. We love a bouncy song, do we not? And that song is Gorgeous. You're so gorgeous, I can't say anything to your face, 'cause look at your face, and I'm so furious. Gorgeous.
Do-do-do-do.
So, I chose this song because I love it. It's a Reputation song, and, you know, we all know Rep is my favorite album. Surprisingly, I haven't chosen many of the Rep songs to discuss.
I think I have chosen them.
A lot of them. But I feel like we need to slow our roll on the Reputation. We've covered a lot of Rep songs. We're going to need to like pace ourselves a little bit, but whatever.
Or she's just going to need to add 10 more songs Voltrex to make the album.
I'm going to need more than we got for 1989 Taylor's version. I'm gonna
yes,
need,
please, and thank you.
I'm going to need at least 7. But until then, let's talk about Gorgeous Rachel. And but to do that, let's talk about cocktails.
Yes, please.
And you know what? I guess I'll just lead off with this one.
Go for Rachel. It.
I kind of explained I've been in a bit of a frenzy today. And so, Rachel, I didn't overthink it.
Excellent.
I've got whiskey on ice.
On ice. Whiskey on ice. Nice.
I think that's the first time any of us have really ever just done that. But I needed a pass.
I think this is the time. If there is any time, it feels like now. This feels right.
So all right. I've got whiskey and ice. If I'm going to be a little specific, it's my favorite American single malt whiskey from my distillery, The Snitching Lady. It's made of barley. It's got delicious notes of, I like to say, toasted marshmallow, kind of like flavors going on. Old chocolatey kind of situation. And it's one of my faves. And cheers to whiskey on ice. Sometimes you just need whiskey on ice. Did you do it too?
I do. Sam, I have some whiskey on ice. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to turn it into a sunset and wine.
Oh.
Is that, what I'm going to do that.
That is a good pun.
So
I was thinking whiskey on rice would have been a fun pun and have some sort of like sake situation. So sunset and wine, that works. What are you doing for that?
All right. I have an interesting kind of like a whiskey sour, but it's whiskey and triple sec and pineapple juice. So it's kind of got vibes of like a beachy drink. And then, but you do it kind of like a New York sour where you put red wine floater on top of it.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And it kind of looks like a sunset that way.
So it looks a bit like a sunset. Yep, that's the one.
Yum. Cheers. Clink, clink.
Yeah, and it's good. Clink, clink.
Wow, we're just pressing right along, aren't we?
Look at us being all, we're being so like quick and sweet, short and sweet about it.
Short and sweet. Wait till we get to the lyrics. I'm going to linger on lots of them.
Linger away.
I'm actually not going to do that. You never know.
We
have proven ourselves wrong. Once we're those, like, this will be an easy one to do. It'll take 2 minutes.
I know.
We've proven ourselves wrong. okay, so let's do our usual three categories for the song Gorgeous. The spirit of the song, the musical mixology, and the Taylor with a twist, the lyrics. Starting with the spirit, I guess I will dissect this because I chose the song this week. The spirit of Gorgeous is, well, so it's about her being attracted to somebody and how that's like not a good thing. It's like she doesn't want to be attracted to them. But I mean, particularly because I think she has a boyfriend in this storyline, but also maybe she just doesn't want to be attracted to them because she just knows the rabbit hole that she could fall down. So it's a very kind of like tongue-in-cheek song. I feel like she's being very facetious in this song, a little bit sarcastic, definitely ironic and comedic. I mean, it's a humorous song for sure, and she's definitely not taking herself serious. It's very unserious, this song, and that's why I thought it would be a really good choice for those reasons, just to kind of break up the intensity that might be from this recent album. Let's not be intense with Gorgeous. And I think that's the only thing intense about Gorgeous is the behind the scenes. When she wrote this song, she spent a lot of time trying to find the perfect lyrics, and you can watch this on YouTube. We'll link to it. And, it's just kind of funny to watch how she wrote the song, because she really lingered on a lot of things that ended up coming out so seamless. So yeah, that's the spirit. Anything you want to add to that?
Oh, no, I mean, I didn't.
Wow.
Take a drink, Rachel.
Yeah, right. She's speechless. This song has moved her to few words.
I was hoping I could play that off as like, oh, I'm losing signal.
No. Oh, that was pretty good.
I actually pulled a lyric from the song that I feel like kind of gives us exactly what the song is about. And I had, there's nothing I hate more than what I can't have.
Okay.
And so I kind of felt like this is like a song about her having infatuation with a guy, like super crush, like major crush.
For sure.
But she can't be with him because she's already in a relationship. And, but obviously we know now that it's not going well. So
yes, we do know that. I guess, in the past.
Yeah.
This is a good time, I guess, to just talk about the subject of the song. I think it's confirmed that it's about Joe Alwyn. We don't always get confirmation, but I mean, some of the times it's really obvious. But, you know, Taylor wrote this song during her Joe era. I mean, any song on Reputation was the onset of their relationship. A lot of the songs on Reputation that are about the onset are about, like, truly, like, the early parts of crushing and developing and figuring out that relationship, like very early stages of the relationship. And this song is almost like the night they first met vibes, I guess you could say, or one of the first times they're hanging out socially.
See, I'm curious about it. She did make a really intentional point at the secret sessions for Reputation to tell the people that were listening to the song that this was about Joe. Mm-hmm. And they should like clarify that once they were like, they had permission to clarify that. They had
permission to talk about it on the internet and let the world know that Taylor herself confirmed it was about Joe Alwyn, essentially, is the story.
Yeah.
So yeah, we don't get that too often. And that's just kind of an interesting fact. So, it's about Joe Alwyn. And go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, we said, okay, it's about Joe. Why does she need to clarify that? I'm just curious. Like she was really intentional. And I wondered if does she not want us to think that, because like we talked about Getaway Car could likely be about, is when she left Calvin Harris for Tom Hiddleston. Yeah. So that one's not about Joe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But
I don't know.
I just found that to be an interesting that she like made sure to clarify this one particular song.
I think that there was just I think she was really excited for Reputation to come out for many reasons, one of which was to sort of debut this relationship with this guy who she was falling for. And, was just excited about that and proud of the fact that she's dating a guy who she finds to be absolutely gorgeous. And maybe she was just trying to kind of flaunt. Maybe she
just wanted to rub that in their faces. Yeah. I don't know.
Now, on that note, Rachel, is Joe Alwyn gorgeous in your eyes?
No. Honestly, I mean, yes. Like, he's attractive. He's not ugly.
Of course not.
But I've just always been turned off by his personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You do see him in a light that can kind of, you know, ruin looks. I see Joe Alwyn as just having a baby face. He looks like a teenager, and that kind of gives me the creeps a little bit. I will say he's got this, like, you know, a very symmetrical, objectively attractive face, right?
And yeah, he's very Ken doll.
Yeah, very Ken without the ruggedness, I would say, of Ken.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know, is Ken rugged? I picture Ken, like,
I don't know. Chiseled. I like, agreed with you, and then I was like, wait, no, Ken is not rugged.
Joe just seems like the boy next door kind of thing, but we know Taylor was very attracted to him, both inside and out. And the song is about the outside of Joe Alwyn. So that, my friends, is the spirit of gorgeous. Now, yeah, let's talk about the musical mixology, Rachel. Drink, because this is a Max Martin and Shellback song, Rachel. Drink, because I chose a Max Martin and Shellback song. Oh, no wonder I love it. Just go ahead and drink right now.
I did.
So, yes, they co-wrote and produced the song with Taylor. It was pretty clear watching the behind the scenes that Taylor, you know, wrote this alone, but then the production was, you know, is a big part of this song. We've got some really quirky sounds going on in this song. There's the iconic triangle moment right before the chorus. You're so gorgeous. Ding! And I never thought it was a triangle until I watched the Reputation Stadium tour when she performed this song, and they cut to a fan in the crowd who brought a triangle specifically for that moment, and he dings it during those moments of the song. So that's pretty iconic.
That's so funny. I don't remember that part, but I often am like half listening, half watching. So
very fair.
I mean, all the way listening, half watching. Very fair. Is actually what it's doing.
But I mean, there's. Yeah, it's just interesting. I don't really know how to be specific. There's really, like, the last chorus, I really like how her backing vocals add a really different element to that last chorus than we get previously. And I'll see if I can include some sound clips here. I'm so curious, and you're for making me feel this way, but what can I say? You're gorgeous. I guess, you know, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the very first part of the song during musical mixology. And I feel like I've been talking a lot, Rachel. So do you want to talk about that moment?
Yeah, we get the cutest little intro at the very beginning. The start begins with, is it James Lively? James Lively.
I think it's James Reynolds. I think it's Ryan's last name.
Oh, Reynolds. I wanted to give it to Blake.
Sorry.
But all right, this is Blake and Lively and Ryan Reynolds' daughter. James says, gorgeous.
Oh, that was actually quite good. Gorgeous.
Was that pretty good? Gorgeous. That sounded more New York. I don't think she sounds like that, but maybe sometimes I feel like toddlers and babies kind of like sound like they've got a New York accent.
You made her sound like a taxi driver in Brooklyn. Maybe she will be someday.
It's very random. I would love to know the editorial choice and reason behind that, other than maybe something cute happened and she was like, whatever, I'm throwing that in the song.
I think what I read was this song was like kind of finished and she was playing it for Blake and Ryan, and their daughter was like saying that, and so they maybe just recorded it on their phone and then through that.
I mean, that's
and
adorable.
Again, the song, Taylor doesn't take it seriously. And so it was probably just like, wouldn't that be so fun? And the thing I really am so curious about is in Taylor's version of this song, which we, of course, yet have, we don't have that yet, is will she use James, who's, you know, much older now, no longer is a toddler with that cute little toddler voice. Will James be, you know, re-recorded saying gorgeous? And if so, how is that going to sound? So I'm very, very curious by that. But we don't know that yet.
Yeah. And my only other music notes are, I feel like this song really gives off Lover.
Yeah.
Like it's got that, like, it's bouncy. The production is pulled back a little bit. We get a lot of pauses and quiet moments before kicking into the chorus. It just like, it has a lot of like, it's more stripped down to me,
mm-hmm.
Than other songs on Reputation,
yeah.
That like hints more to Lover. And essentially, like, I kind of thought of this in the spirit, but this kind of carries through the whole, like, musically too. This is just like a drunk song.
Yeah.
Like, to me.
I mean, she literally sings that. You should take it as a compliment that I got drunk and
made fun of the way you talk. Yes, and it's like, it's basically like Enchanted, but drunker and snarkier.
Mm-hmm.
And snarky. And the drunk sounds and like come through with the music, just like that, like poppy, like, oh, I'm so happy and silly, like just that slap happy, like you.
It
sort of,
it does
vibes.
Sort of seem like the odd one out on Reputation because of those reasons. We've talked how a lot of the Reputation songs have like hip hop and trap beats and kind of are darker and heavier in their production. And this song is probably the lightest one that we get on the entire Reputation album. It's very light. It's very bouncy. It's very poppy. But the story that it tells, it absolutely fits on Reputation. And so for that reason, you know, it deserves to be on this album. But yeah, the production behind it, it was just a little different. Quite different than everything else that they were doing. The other song on Reputation is This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things is also very
that's a little bit
lovery.
Yeah.
That almost, you know.
Very lovery.
Right. Yes. So those are our music notes, Rach. And moving right along, we are
moving right along.
Setting a record.
We've already
for how fast we're
we've already given the first word lyric of the song, which is gorgeous.
Wow.
Is that good?
Yeah, that was Less New York.
You still got it.
You're doing great. You're doing great. Yeah, that's first thing we get. And then Taylor starts singing, You Should Take It As a Compliment That I Got Drunk and Made Fun of the Way You Talk. You should think about the consequence of your magnetic field being a little too strong. And I got a boyfriend. He's older than us. He's in the club doing I don't know what. You're so cool. It makes me hate you so much.
I hate
you
so much.
So much. Again, very unserious. Now, what if we get those lines in Tortured Poets, but like real, like I hate you so much.
Well, ooh. I mean, I have a Tortured Poets line coming up here pretty soon. So, okay. But we're not there yet.
Put a bit in that. So I just like that I feel like she's at a party, you know, and she got drunk and made fun of the way you talk because he's British. And so she probably, there's that scene where she made fun of Ed Sheeran when he wrote the lines for Endgame. Something was born on the 4th of July. There's a clip where she's making fun of the way he talks as well.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the 4th of July line because that makes me really happy. After the storm, something was born on the 4th of July.
So she definitely gets a little confident by getting drunk and and making fun of him. I mean, this is a lot of the song is classic playground style romance.
Yes.
Where it's like you're making fun of somebody that you like and you're playing hard to get so they like you more. It's very childish, this song and what she's trying to do here. But you should take it as a compliment that I did those things because that means I like you. And otherwise I wouldn't have made fun of you. I wouldn't have cared, but I like you, so I made fun of the way you talk.
Which, again, very annoying. You're right. That's like playground talk. We don't do that. We don't need to like do that. But I think that's the whole point of the song. Is like she's. This isn't a good light for her necessarily, but it's also really, really real. Like this whole, like as I'm going through this, I'm like, oh my God, there's like, this is just like very accurate to what you do on those early stages of a crush when it's because you're just a little bit wild when you have a crush on somebody and you like, and that's exactly like this is that little tiny little moment before anything happens. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. This is just really fun. To have a new way of expressing crush on somebody. I just like it.
I like it. I like it too. And I bet you she truly was probably like this. I mean, she was very giddy. It sounds like when she met him and when she was entertaining the idea of possibly being with him, I think it was a lot of giddiness and childlike romantic feelings. So,
yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
She's written before. Like, she's given us Enchanted. She's given us Hey, Steven. Like, she's given us these, like, oh, I like you crushy songs. But this is definitely, I think, a little more mature, ironically, since you said it's, like, playground talk. But, like, it's definitely, like, mature meaning drunker. Like, I just feel like it's...
Yeah, I see what you mean. Well, it also sounds like it's mature in that she's been through these scenarios a number of times now.
Yes.
That she knows the consequence of these things. And she knows where this is going to lead. I wonder what it was like for her falling for Travis. Like, if she had similar things like, I'm falling in love again, or, oh my God, you should think about the consequence of
giving
me a friendship bracelet, you know, like,
are we going to have to wait?
Probably like, I can't. Yeah. We don't know, but,
probably TS12, but
we'll see. We'll see. Okay. I like this line. You should think about the consequence of your magnetic field being a little too strong. It's a fun way to say he's attractive, right?
But it's a wild way of saying it.
I also thought about, like, how she always refers to Joe as gold, and that's a metal. And I looked up, is gold magnetic? And it is not. Nice. But wouldn't that be really cool if it were? But it's not. So,
Yeah, that's so interesting. I just like that she's, like, blaming him. Like, I just love...
She's blaming him. Yeah.
She's totally, like, this is all your fault. I mean, she's not. Yep. But, like, this is... She's... I think this, if we even go back to, like, not Miss Americana on the Heartbreak Prince, King of My Heart. I always, like, mix those. King of My Heart, where she was just like, I'm fine. I'm better off on my own. I don't want this. Like, you could tell, like, that's, like, the vibe of this. Like,
yeah.
God, it's your fault that you pulled me in. It's just kind of funny, especially since we have Mastermind. Also, like, it's just a whole different way of looking at it.
I love connecting Taylor's past songs to newer songs.
I know.
That's, like, one of the best parts
it's so cool.
Okay, so I got a boyfriend. He's older than us. He's in the club doing I don't know what. I think we're left to just assume she's literally talking about her current boyfriend, Calvin Harris.
Well, see, now that's – okay, that's what's confusing to me. So – Calvin Harris, like, Tom Hiddleston happens after Calvin Harris.
Yeah, but she met Joe when she was dating Calvin.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. She met him so at this the Met Gala. The same Met Gala that she danced with Tom Hiddleston with. Joe was also present.
Wasn't there, like, another party with Joe? Like, some random place where she met him?
Yeah, probably. I don't know for sure.
Okay, this makes sense.
I could text her really quick and ask, but I lost my phone.
So. That's true, you did. No, but the club line is definitely feels like Calvin Harris. That's why I was, like, confused. But I wasn't sure if, like, club could mean, like, country club, because I feel like Tom Hiddleston is, like, a country club, golf club kind of a guy. But
I can see that. I mean, it's also, like, interesting. Before I ever connected this to Calvin Harris, who's a DJ, that's why he's in the club. It almost just seems more like, I've got a boyfriend, but he's out dancing in the club without me, as if to imply, and she says it, I don't know what, like, she's pretty much saying, yes, I have a boyfriend, but it's not going great because he's not with me. I don't know what he's doing.
I don't remember.
Yeah,
that's it's so, like, definitely I don't remember.
Oh,
yes,
indeed. Okay, so you're so cool. It makes me hate you so much. I hate you so much.
I hate you so much.
I hate you so much. You're so cool. I think she hates him because she doesn't want she doesn't want to be tempted by this cool, gorgeous man.
Yes,
so because she's like, again, she's blaming him. It's his fault. I hate you.
Yeah, like, just like King of My Heart. She was like, I was just fine on my own. And then you had to come along with your gorgeous face.
Mm-hmm. And your OCD eyes. Yeah. This pre-chorus is interesting because it's, like, kind of seems out of context. So she sings whiskey on ice. Cheers. Mm-hmm. Sunset and vine.
Cheers.
You've ruined, oh yeah, cheers. You've ruined my life by not being mine. That's
okay, but here's where that line connection is to Torture Poets Department. I love you, it's ruining my life.
It's ruining my life. You're right. I hadn't thought of that one.
Yeah.
Yes. Like yes, this? I mean, we don't know that song yet, but okay. That, I mean, it's kind of giving this line for
and,
sure.
And this song, we didn't have any Reputation songs on the playlist that we talked about for the five stages of grief. I would put this on, like, I Love You, It's Ruining My Life playlist, like the one that it was about delusion, Delulu.
Totally. Totally. Like, she was in denial about what it was. Now, the context is Whiskey on Ice, Sunset in Vine. You know, it kind of seems like she's going off on a deep end with those things, but I just assume she's giving us more information about who he is. Because we've talked about how she references Whiskey a couple of times, a few times in this album and the next one, you know, these Love or Joe albums, because Joe's a whiskey drinker. And I think you brought this up, that she probably wasn't a whiskey drinker until she met him, and then that started influencing some of the lyrics, some of the drinking lyrics that she was writing were now whiskey after she met him. So I think that's what she's saying, is like just describing him, Whiskey on Ice, Sunset and Vine, being a location in Hollywood, and he's an actor.
Right.
And right, are there other things to say about those lines right there?
No.
Because not, do you know those. What I mean? It's not a full sentence she's singing. She's just saying these things.
I'm getting the idea that that's where they were. Like, he was drinking Whiskey on Ice, or they are. Maybe she is too. They're at Sunset and Vine. Fun fact that we might pull in later on in our discography exploration. What I do believe that Clara Bow has a star. A Hollywood star at the corner of Sunset and Vine. So fascinating.
Very fascinating. Okay.
So that's our pre-chorus. Let's keep reading our chorus.
I love this chorus. You're so gorgeous. I can't say anything to your face because look at your face.
I mean, look at it. They can't. This is a listening. This is an auditory podcast. They cannot see our face, but it's gorgeous. Let me tell you.
Are you talking about yours right now?
Yes, I'm talking about mine.
Oh, okay. I guess it's gorgeous. Only because it's your birthday week.
Only because it's my birthday. Right. Totally.
But it's just so funny. I mean, like, look at your face. Like, have you seen yourself? Have you looked in the mirror? Because you're gorgeous, and I can't say anything to your face because, I just can't be pulled in. I can't be pulled in. I think that's what she's singing here. And I'm so furious at you for making me feel this way. Again, it's your fault that I'm attracted to you. But what can I say? You're gorgeous. I feel like she's just kind of coming to terms with it at the end of the chorus. But what can I say? You're gorgeous. Like, It's like implying I am gonna lean into this a little bit, especially as we get into the second verse.
I just think it's really funny that she rhymes face with face.
I know, totally. And like any other time, that could be criticized, but it's intentional.
No, it feels so intentional. This. Like it's like a drunk Taylor. Like, she's definitely embodying a drunk Taylor who would just rhyme face with face. Like,
yeah.
Now, we also know that drunk Taylor can write incredible music, like Tis the Damn Season,
Tis the Damn Season. Yeah. And who knows what else she's
written. Who knows
else what
she's written drunk. Right. And so I'm so curious at her for being able to do that because her music is gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
So cool. The only thing I was going to say was, like, we don't Like, this is such a surface level song. And it's like very bland. Like we lit, she literally only talks about how he looks. And, yes. And I do think that's really interesting. Cause I'm in the middle of watching Love is Blind. Okay. And so,
oh God, so cringy.
It's amazing.
How do you
it's
do
amazing.
That? I have tried watching that show and it is, yes, entertaining, but it's so cringy. I get so much secondhand embarrassment that I have to peek through my fingers, covering my eyes while watching it.
It's so uncomfortable. But
it's a hard watch.
It's really interesting because it's like these people fall in love, but they never get to see each other. And here's this like antithesis of that. Like, literally, I know nothing about you except that you're hot.
Yeah.
And right. I don't know. I'm like super curious if that will come back up in Torture Poets Department. Like, what if that magnetism or whatever magnetic field, I'm having a hard time with words. If the magnetic field was what really threw her, like, was it his personality or was it just that he was hot?
This song seems to imply that she was just physically attracted to him at first. And then, have you seen that meme where it's like, she fell in love with him because he didn't care that she was Taylor Swift. She broke up with him because he didn't care that she was Taylor Swift.
Oh.
So I feel like she was immediately attracted to him, clearly with
yes.
the song. And then once they started hanging out, she was like, oh, you're actually the right person that I
yes.
need right now. That's who she needed
yes.
right then. And but it all started with the physical attraction. This song is
yeah.
the okay. number one sign that lets us know that,
yeah.
it seems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, let's get into verse two.
Verse two.
You should take it as a compliment that I'm talking to everyone here, including you. No, I'm talking to no one here but you. No, just kidding. The line is, that's what I would
Why
say to
you.
What
are you trying to do right now?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to make this more interesting.
Well, you can't change her lyrics as we're discussing and breaking down her lyrics.
Okay, sorry.
Rachel.
Sorry, too soon. Okay. I'm talking to everyone here but you, but you, but you.
But you, but you, but you.
And you should take a... Think about the consequence of you touching my hand in a darkened room. Excuse me. Dark room, dark room.
I like how she uses the same structure as the first verse.
Yes.
You should take it as a compliment, but then she changes what he should take as a compliment.
Yep. You should think about the consequence.
You should think about the consequence, but then she changes the consequence. So this time the compliment is that she's not talking to him. Probably because she's intimidated and doesn't want to get sucked in. And that's a compliment because, again, you're hot. I can't talk to you because you're hot and I don't want to get wrapped into it. You should think about the consequence. This is where it gets interesting. Of you touching my hand in the darkened room. This is where it's
were
like
they?
Getting the this is things are happening. He's touching her hand and it is a dark room. You should think about what that means, Mr. Owen. Think about the consequence of that. Like, moves are being made at this point. And that's really kind of, well, maybe this next pre-chorus also gives us a little bit more information about where things are going, I suppose.
Maybe.
But until then, move on with this second verse, Rach.
And we have more Taylor twisting, similar to what she's already done.
Yes.
Instead of, I've got a boyfriend, she sings, if you've got a girlfriend, I'm jealous of her. But if you're single, that's honestly worse.
That's funny.
Because you're so gorgeous, it actually hurts. Honey, it hurts.
Yeah. It's like if somebody is... single. I mean, you're not single, Rachel, and you're not in the dating world, but it's almost like knowing that somebody you have a crush on is single is
dangerous.
It's dangerous. And it's so like you can't, I'm so much smoother if I know I have no chance
oh.
than if I know there is a chance. Because then it's just like that I overthink it. And so that is kind of the vibes I'm getting from that. It's okay. honestly worse if you're single, because then it's like, okay, things could actually happen and it's not going to
okay,
go well.
This, Sam, you're just like opening up. Like, okay, confession time. I've dated Mike forever, never, never. And I would go out post, like while we were dating, with my girlfriends to bars, and there would be gentlemen there. Okay? Let's just say it. Like, there would be gentlemen there,
were they
and they
gentlemen?
Would always, they would always approach us, and the conversation would always come up. Yeah, I got a boyfriend. He's older than us. No, just kidding. He's younger than us.
That's true.
And I always thought it would be like a turnoff. It was all, but now
but
that you say
this, it
made
them want you more, didn't it?
Uh huh. It's like yeah. it, to them, it was like, yeah,
yeah.
Oh, that's annoying.
That's not really what Taylor's saying, though.
That's not what she's saying. But I'm realizing now, like you were saying, like maybe with guys, it's like. It's a challenge. But I do think that's what she's saying, because she's like, honestly, it's worse because now I want you more.
Yes. Yes.
And she knows that that's a bad idea because she's with somebody right now. She has a boyfriend and she doesn't want to cheat. Like, that's important to her. So,
I mean, it's definitely, that temptation again, because you're so gorgeous. It actually hurts. Honey, it hurts. I like how she calls him honey.
Honey, I know.
Her honey right now. Because you're so gorgeous, it actually hurts. Honey, ocean blue. I love this pre-chorus. The pre-chorus changes. I love this one. Sing it, Rach. Or tell it. You can sing it.
Really sing it? I will. Ocean blue eyes looking in mine. I feel like I might sink and drown and die.
That was something else.
That was great.
We get Blue here. She describes his eyes as blue in other songs, I think. Right?
So many songs. Yes.
I mean, I know she uses blue. Oh damn, never seen that color blue.
Yeah.
And
she was not talking about his jeans. That's what we decided.
His jeans. To our knowledge, go back to episode 20 something when we discussed Delicate. Ocean blue eyes looking mine. So again, like something is happening here. He's touching her hand in a darkened room. Now his eyes are looking into hers. I feel like I might sink and drown and die. It's so dramatic.
It's so dramatic, but also I was like, hello, foreshadowing. Like,
why?
Like, the relationship, like it, she sank and then she drowned because she basically died. No, too much, too extreme.
That's one way to look at it. I think that's just what you do in any relationship. You sink and you drown with them.
Yeah, but
before
to
you
use those such negative words, like
yeah.
already at the beginning of a relationship, like to sink into that and float forever. Like, I feel like I might sink and float down the stream.
Sink and float are opposite terms, though. You can't sink and float at the same time.
Sink and rise back to the surface and float. I don't know.
I think she's just being really overly dramatic
to express
how extreme she feels about being attracted to him when she doesn't.
She's obviously like, because she's, this whole song is about contrast, right? Like, you're so gorgeous it hurts. Like, that's weird, right? Or, like, if you're single, that's worse. Like, she's using
I don't
all
talk
of
to you because you're so gorgeous.
You're so cool. Yeah. I hate you. Right. Like,
that's why I said there's a lot of irony here. There's a lot of facetiousness.
Yeah.
There's a lot
of contradiction. Yeah. Because she used ocean blue eyes.
Oh, right.
She then, like, ties it into the ocean.
Oh,
but
yes.
She's being dramatic and, yes. like, this is ruining my life. I love you. It's ruining my life.
Oh, I like
she
that.
She says, sink and drown and die.
I like that. Good job, Tay.
Good job.
Another chorus. And then we are in the bridge. And Rachel, this is not her most profound bridge she's ever written. Sorry, Taylor, but I don't think you wanted this to be
fun.
A profound bridge.
It's
That's
fun.
Not the point. Yeah. No, this bridge is just fun.
It's a delight, I think.
It's a delight. So she goes, you make me so happy, it turns back to sad. Also, I really love the beat of this part.
Yes.
You make me so happy, it turns back to sad. There's nothing I hate more than what I can't have. You are so gorgeous, it makes me so mad.
You make me so happy, it turns back to sad. There's nothing I hate more than what I can't have. You are so gorgeous, it makes me so mad. And she basically repeats that, except she changes that last part.
There's nothing I hate more than what I can't have. Oh, that she.
What I can't have. Guess I'll just stumble on home to my cats.
Alone? Unless you want to come along.
Oh my God, I love it. She just kind of caves in that moment.
I love that part. Like, that's the best part. Like, she just really sinks down into, like, I'm miserable. I'm just going to stumble on home to my cats. And then this is where the flirtatious Taylor comes in. And
Goats.
You can totally see, like, I just see her doing this.
Unless you want to come along.
And then we get an epic vocal moment right there. Well, sorry.
That was an epic vocal moment.
I'm not going to attempt it, but insert sound clip here.
Insert sound clip.
You're so gorgeous. I can't say anything to your face.
Yeah, how many times do we get her talking about cats? I know for sure in Karma. Definitely in Gorgeous, obviously right here. I mean, her cats are a big part of her life.
I don't think she has used them a lot. It's like she protects them the way that influencers protect their children.
Like, she doesn't post too many pictures of them. Yeah. She'll, like, blur out their face.
Yeah.
Didn't we look it up once? Like, how much are Taylor's cats worth? And they're worth more than Travis Kelce or something? I mean,
I think we also speculated that the cats have died, and that's what Goodbye, You're Bigger Than the Whole Sky was about.
I mean, I bet you will definitely get a song about
the cats. Cat
yeah.
On the Torture Poets Department?
She sings Cheshire Cat in Wonderland.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She plays cat and mouse for a month or two or three in Paper Rings.
That's right.
She draws the cat eyes sharp enough to kill a man. And we don't know about Tortured Poets yet, but I have a feeling that I Can Fix Him, No Really I Can is actually about Benjamin Button, the cat.
Like, get him fixed.
Like, the vet is like, no, I need to perform the surgery. And she's like, no, I can fix him. No, really, I can. She's trying to save some costs, I think. Tune in next week when we fathom if that's what's really happening or not.
I'm dead. That's our show, folks.
RIP me. I died dead. Wait, Rachel, we've covered.
We have,
Gorgeous.
But Sam, you know what we said we were going to do every episode and then we forgot.
Are we
to
just
do?
The same person today? We are doing the same drink. We are doing the same new shit. And the one thing I was going to say is, Rachel, we should finally go back to what song would we mash this up with.
Yeah.
And we're literally the same person.
Okay.
So, yes.
Okay. So I need you to go first because I had just forgotten about it until right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, of course, what we want to do is, like, Taylor in the new era of her Eras Tour surprise song moment, she now plays mashup songs, and we're obviously speculating on, like, oh, how do these songs relate to each other? Like, what was the reasoning behind why she mashed up this song with this song? So that's a fun little thing that I think we should probably try doing more, is what would she mash up Gorgeous with? And I thought of I Think He Knows, because it's a similar vibe of like flirtatiousness on the onset of the relationship, and it's got a similar pace to it. And so they're very connected in that sense. I didn't think that there's any deeper song that deserves to be with Gorgeous. So I'm going with I Think He Knows.
I like that. I think I want to just be, this is going to be a silly mashup, and she's going to do I Knew You Were Trouble.
Oh, that works. That totally
I think
totally
that would
works.
Be a fun
totally
angle.
Works.
Trouble when you walked in, so shame on me now, flew me to places I've never been, till you put me down. Oh.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll see if she ends up choosing Gorgeous and mashing it up in the Artist Tour Surprise Song Moment. So
Sam, this podcast was so cool, it makes me hate you so much. And my Whiskey on Ice, Sunset and Vine is all done. So
R.I.P.
Really, honestly, it's ruining my life. It really is. Okay.
Oh my gosh, Rachel, where are you going with this? I think I know what's happening here.
I feel like we need to find out, like, we need to figure out another time when something has been ruining Taylor's life, just as it's ruining our life right now.
Oh my
and
God.
So I feel like the next song we need to talk about has to be For a Fortnight There We Were Running
what?
Together. Yep. That's, oh my God. That's where we're going to find out what that song is about, because I feel like of all the songs in that one's going to be the most confusing.
Rachel,
so
you're taking us back to the tortured poets department so
I can't,
soon.
I cannot. I know.
It makes sense. I mean, we're in our tortured poets era. I get it. And that song, actually, thank you for choosing that song, because I'm like legitimately so confused about that song.
Yeah.
Slowly and slowly, I'm starting to fathom a little bit more. But like, let's actually dedicate an entire episode for cocktails and analysis of that song.
Let's
because
I
got
it.
Some questions. And maybe we'll call Posty up. Maybe he'll join us. Maybe he'll be our special guest.
I'll see what he's up to. Oh my God, I have such a crush on him. Okay. I'll
I know you do. Oh my God, that'll be so much fun. Good choice, Rachel.
Swiggies, we know you're so gorgeous, but we can't say anything to your face because we can't see your face. But I mean, look at your face. You're all gorgeous. You're Swiggies. Swiggies are all gorgeous, no matter what you look like.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, gorgeous. We just love you. So if you want to come along, unless you want to come along and find us over on social media, I've plugged everything earlier in this episode, but here I go again. Instagram and TikTok at Swift and Swigs Podcast. Is that what I never? Yes, it's at Swift and Swigs Podcast. I cannot believe how many times I've said these things and still don't know how to do it. But follow us on all of our places, guys. And thank you once again for tuning in every week. We hope you enjoyed this breakdown of Gorgeous. I am always in my Reputation era, no matter what other albums we're getting. So
cheers. Clink, clink, whiskey on ice.
Clink, clink to that. Whiskey on ice, sunset and vine, you've ruined my life by not being mine.
Ding!